The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN125.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Bombshells in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Nestor says, who wins tonight straight up? The Steelers are 3.5-point favorites. They're supposed to win, but I think there's value at plus 150 for the Panthers to win. If you had told me these two teams are the same, I wouldn't have argued. That's why I think you're getting a little bit of value with the Panthers, because you're getting that half point. You get the 3 for home field and then the half point extra. I think it's a really interesting game. It's a game that could go either way.
And we don't usually get that on Thursday nights.
No.
Lance had a better idea. A college all-star team play Alabama. That would be interesting.
I think that'd be interesting if you built like an all-star team or the All-American team minus the Alabama guys versus Alabama.
You know what? Let's not even have the playoff this year.
Yeah, listen, guys, we all know what's going to happen. So this is what we're going to do. You guys are just going to give up, and we're going to play this national championship game, Alabama versus the world.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number 3, live from Bombshells in Spring. Come on out if you're in the area. If you missed the first 2 hours, lots of great stuff. All available at podcastarena.com. You know all the ways to reach the show. We are going to forego those because it's time to talk to Brad Powers.
The man.
And the legend that is the lead college football analyst for pregame.com. Always brings great stuff. Brad, how's it going, man?
Going well. How are you guys doing on this fine Thursday evening?
We're doing well. I want to tell you something, Brad. I listened to Straight Out of Vegas on Monday night on my way home from work. I said, you know what? I'm going to listen to this podcast. I did. It was a very good show. One of the things I learned on Monday's Straight Out of Vegas show was you made the same mistake I did, thinking that Kentucky was going to handle Duke. And I'm guessing on Tuesday's show, I haven't got to hear that, but I'm guessing on Tuesday you had to eat a little crow about how great Duke is.
Yeah, and then some. Obviously, liking and betting Kentucky, that was a ticket that was in the garbage early in the first half of that one.
Yeah.
Duke, the far superior team.
Hold on second, guys. RJ Bell here.
RJ Bell?
Listen, I heard the show. You know, we're at the studio and Brad's doing his hit. And Fred, is Fred with us?
Fred is here.
I am here.
Fred, I'm confused by something. When AJ parrots me on Friday, like every pick's the same, he says, I don't listen to the pod. I don't listen to any. I told you I was going to listen.
I listened.
Oh, so now you just happen to start.
RJ, skeptical. How long's your show been going on? How long have you had this show?
This is our 7th week.
Oh, give me some credit. I couldn't. I'm sorry, I wasn't there day one, RJ.
But AJ, you and I hardly ever agreed, and then all of a sudden you were on every game I was on. All the Houston metro area is talking about it, dude.
That's what I've heard. I've been found out.
Hey, last thing, I'm going to let you guys go. I thought it'd be fun to jump on, but Brad, I don't know if he told you because he's very humble. He's in a contest that's college football based. 7 picks a week, $1,000 to enter. The Golden Nugget, right?
Yep.
And you're 66% on the year.
68%.
Wow. All right. And our Super Contest Gold, another winning week, 3-2. We're 65% on the year. We're in it for the 700K. I was thinking maybe Brad and I next year, we could have a contest against you two, college NFL, put up like 10 grand and have some fun with it.
We'll have to negotiate the stakes. But I would be open to something like that. We have a pool at our office where everybody picks one college and one NFL game every week, and I'm in the lead on that. Just so you know, RJ, Fred is
all
horrible.
Right, well,
Fred's a disaster, but I'm winning. Though.
You know, it'd be funny if AJ goes, "Yeah, we'll do, but you got to give us +150." That would be like our best. That would be like our ultimate victory.
Yep.
All right, boys, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. See you, RJ.
I wouldn't do it for less than +200, to be honest with you.
Plus 200, that seems right. Yeah, we're Joes.
Wow. And Brad's going to carry RJ anyway, so we know how that works.
All right, let's get to tonight. I'm probably a sucker, but I really love Fresno, and I know they haven't played anybody, but I just think they've got the right coach. I think they are just legitimately that good, and I think Boise at home is always overvalued, and I'm getting under 3 now, which I think is important. It was 3 earlier. Now I've got 2.5. I'm giving 2.5. It just feels like this is the right side. What do you think?
Well, you know, you're not a sucker for liking Fresno State, at least the last couple of years.
It made me money all year.
Well, the last 2 years since Tedford took over, no team in college football has made more money than Fresno State. 18-3-2 against the spread the last 2 years since Tedford took over. But you're starting to pay a premium on Fresno State. It's not stopping them from covering, but you're definitely paying a little bit more of a premium on Fresno than what you were just a few weeks ago. And keep in mind, guys, Boise as a home dog, I get it. They're normally, you're paying a premium because of blue turf. But now Boise State getting points on their home turf hasn't happened in any game since 2005, hasn't happened since 2001 on the Smurf turf in the regular season. Slight lean on Boise State for me, guys. I got to take the Broncos in this rare roll at dog at home.
My duct tape shoes. I feel like such a fool.
There's a game I like, and I know Clemson has just been a machine since really the Syracuse game. But I kind of think this is a tough trip to Boston College. I think the weather's going to be bad. Boston College plays a pretty good defense. Or plays pretty good defense. I'm getting 19.5 points. And we always talk about don't get in the way of the train sometimes. But I like Boston College here. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I don't think you are. I lean with Boston College as well. We just talked about Fresno State. You know, as far as their ATS run the last couple years, the only team that Fresno State slightly above is Boston College. Boston College last 19 games against the spread, 16-3. Not too shabby. But unlike Fresno State, I don't think you're paying too much of a premium on Boston College. In fact, I think you're paying a premium on Boston College's opponent, Clemson. Why? What has Clemson done the last 4 weeks? Everyone's talking about them outscoring their opponents by 51 points per game. To me, that's impressive in itself. More impressive is the fact that a team like Clemson could be covering the spread the last 4 weeks by 27 points per game. We've seen a ton of money come in on Clemson. Now that line's too high, in my opinion. Give me Boston College plus the points.
Another one I wanted to ask you about, and Houston went up to SMU and just played like garbage last week. Temple coming off a really good effort against UCF, and I think that may have reduced that number, Houston -5. I kind of think this is a bounce-back spot for the Cougars here, especially at home, and it may get Ed Oliver back, which I think will make a difference. They still have a lot to play for. I just think maybe Temple's getting a little overvalued here. Am I on the right track with this or no?
You are. You get agreement from me. I think the number's short because of what we just saw from these two teams last week. Everyone saw Temple play well against Central Florida. Should have covered against Central Florida if not for that late field goal and a couple late scores by UCF. On the flip side, Houston just played their worst game of the season. I like teams bouncing back from that particular performance. You're right. Ed Oliver can make a difference if he's back in the lineup. Yeah, this number would have been at least 7 just a week or so ago. I think it's been, clear overreaction last week. Value on the Cougars.
All right, tell me why I'm a sucker here. This one, I don't understand this number at all, because I have these teams power rated maybe 11 points apart, and I'm accounting for home field with Michigan State, but Ohio State -3.5 seems like such a short number. What's the situational spot that I'm missing where this game's not important to both teams? Because if Ohio State, if they want to win the Big Ten, they still have to win this game before they beat Michigan, right?
I mean, they do. And look, I think Ohio State still has a lot in front of them. They might need a little bit of help in the form of, you know, maybe Oklahoma needs to lose, maybe Notre Dame needs to lose. But, man, if Ohio State wins out, including that would be a win over Michigan State this week, win over Michigan in a couple weeks, it's tough not thinking that Ohio State would be right there in the playoff mix. You guys are right. I mean, just a few weeks ago, what is Ohio State laying in this game? Nearly double digits. In fact, that was the line as far as the game of the year. Ohio State was right around a 9-point favorite over Michigan State. I think for the first time this season, you can buy Ohio State low. Why? Ohio State's failed to cover 5 straight games. I think it's a bad matchup. Michigan State, very one-dimensional on offense. And I think on the flip side, you know, that Ohio State defense that has struggled so much, I think this is a good matchup for that Ohio State defense. You don't have to worry about Michigan State beating you over the top as far as the big play. Stack the line of scrimmage. Flip side, I think Haskins can have some success via the air against Michigan State's pass defense, which is the weaker of the two units. I like Ohio State a lot. This is one that I really warmed up to throughout the course of the week.
One of the games that I liked early in the week, and now the announcement that Book is not going to play quarterback for Notre Dame has kind of soured me to it. I wanted to play Notre Dame because I was thinking, man, Florida State going up and playing in the weather, that just seems like a recipe for disaster. But then Notre Dame switches quarterbacks on me. Suddenly, I don't know which way to lean on this game. What do you think?
I think if you're wanting to play Notre Dame, wait a little bit. I think Ian Book's worth 3 points. He should be worth 3 points. Notre Dame with Brandon Wimbush at quarterback, first 3 games of the season, averaged about 23 points per game. Last 6 games with Ian Book at quarterback, the offense has averaged 39 points per game. Now, Ian Book's not worth that 2-touchdown-plus difference, but I think he's clearly worth 3 points, that Irish offense and that team. But I think there might be an overreaction. Keep in mind, Notre Dame's 13-3 straight up with Brandon Wimbush at quarterback, including a win over that vaunted Michigan team earlier this season. I think you're right. Still the number one factor for me is the weather. I mean, I don't care who's under center for the Irish. What I do know is Florida State, 27 degrees at kickoff. If they don't have any early success, I could see this team folding the tents, which they have done several times already this season. Florida State has 4 losses by 19 points or more. I think if Wimbush can just get some early success, Notre Dame will roll in this one.
Brad Powers, our guest, lead college football analyst at pregame.com. Okay, 2 teams that have been really good all year for me. I might be going in different directions on, but I want to get your thoughts on them. UAB -12 at home against Southern Miss. I love UAB in this spot. And then Florida International -10 at UTSA. And I might actually be leaning against Florida International this week. What are your thoughts on those two?
Yeah, I'm not quite ready to do it, although the spot says take UTSA. They're off a bye. FIU just played their rival, Florida Atlantic, their arch rival last week. But keep in mind, don't just read that final score and see, hey, man, FIU, what in the world happened to them? They lost by 35 in a rivalry game. That was 14-14 with what, late third quarter? Just a few minutes left. So, I mean, they weren't blown out from start to finish in that FAU game. And Lane Kiffin's notorious for putting on a couple extra scores when he can. So, in fact, right now, I would actually lean FIU. I think UTSA, for the most part, it benefited from, what, those 3 early wins in the season over arguably 3 of the worst teams in the country. I don't think they're as good as their record. So lean FIU. But of the 2 games, I think there's the most value on UAB at home. And why the heck not? They haven't lost at home since they returned as a program last year. 11-0 straight up at home, 10-0-1 against the number. I think the number's a little cheap. I know there's some quarterback issues for both teams. UAB played just fine without their starting quarterback last week in a blowout win. I think they win this one by 2 touchdowns over Southern Miss.
Pittsburgh giving 3 against a Virginia Tech team that I think has just the wheels have completely fallen off of it. I guess the thing that concerns me the most is it opened at 3.5, and it's it's gone down to three. I don't know who would be putting Virginia Tech money up at this point, but I feel like it felt like a Pittsburgh lock, but that's given me some hesitation. What do you think?
No, I really like Pittsburgh here. I just think matchup-wise makes a lot of sense to be on Pittsburgh here. Let's just talk about it. Pittsburgh, what do they like to do? Run the football, averaging 230 rushing yards per game this season and really gotten it going here in the last couple weeks. Played a very physical Virginia team last week and dominated the trenches and the line of scrimmage against Virginia on the road last week. Pittsburgh controlling their own destiny now in the Coastal. Flip side, Virginia Tech. Are you kidding me? I would say if there's one unit in college football that's banged up more than Virginia Tech's defense, give it to me. I want to know, because this started in the summer when they lost three starters and it hasn't stopped. In fact, last week, Virginia Tech lost three more starters. That rush defense gashed last three games, allowing more than 300 rushing yards per game. Bad matchup for Virginia Tech. Two teams going in opposite directions. Give me the Pitt Panthers minus the points.
We've sort of talked about this in the past, that with Tom Herman, if he's favored, you can definitely go against him if they're an underdog that you want to play him. Two-point favorites on the road at Texas Tech, but Tech also has some quarterback issues because apparently Bowman doesn't have a single lung out of two there. How do you see that? I kind of like Texas in the spot, but, boy, that Herman factor just keeps jumping right back at me.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why it's not a full field goal here, because that number's gotten so much play in the marketplace, the fact that you want to bet on Tom Herman as a dog, you want to fade him as a favorite. I'm saying when the line is less than three, does it really matter that much? It wouldn't have mattered last week had West Virginia not, you know, converted that late touchdown. So I think there's a little too much to be made about it, but what's not been made enough about it is the quarterback issue for Texas Tech. Allen Bowman, in my opinion, would have been a bad matchup. Texas's pass defense, that's the weakness there. Now you get Jeff Duffy at quarterback. He prefers, he's the better runner. I think that Texas defense can stack the line of scrimmage. I get it. Texas may be feeling a little bit down about themselves. Two straight losses. I just can't see Texas under Herman losing three straight here. And Texas Tech last week, after that 14-0 start, their defense could not stop Oklahoma at all. Give me the Longhorns here. I like this play a lot.
Hey, are we getting a good price here on LSU this week? 13.5. My power rankings have them way further apart than that. Arkansas doesn't have any home field advantage to speak of. I feel like LSU, after getting shut out last week, they're going to want to come out and kind of make a statement. Do you think that's the case, or do you think it's going to be the opposite and the wins out of LSU's sails?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned this game, because it's the first time I've been asked this game this week, and I agree with you. I think number's short, which is kind of, you know, concerning to me, that because I got the number much higher as well, and that's usually at the end of the year, my power ratings don't differ too much from the spread other than a few games a week, but this is one of them. I guess the concern would be the situation. At LSU, are they feeling sorry for themselves after getting drubbed by Alabama last week? Very physical game. Are they licking their wounds after that one? Arkansas is coming fresh off a bye, but you know, actually, Ed Orgeron has flipped the script here. You know, LSU routinely against Arkansas was a bad play when Les Miles was the coach the last couple of years. LSU's taking care of business here after Alabama. Yeah, 13.5, I think it's a little short. I like the Tigers.
Another team that's favored by a fairly big number, coming off a disappointing loss in a game they pretty much dominated, is Texas A&M, minus 13 at home against Ole Miss. And Mississippi's had some bad losses this year against pretty good teams, and I think if you consider A&M a pretty good team, that this might be a spot for that. Do you think the Aggies bounce back this week?
Yeah, I do. I'll lay it. I'll eat some more chalk here. I'll take Texas A&M less than two touchdowns here, and you're getting some value from last week. Again, for whatever reason, A&M couldn't close the deal. A lot of it had to do with turnovers. They were leading that game by 10. You know, a turnover gave Auburn a quick touchdown. Auburn gets the last one with seconds remaining. But really, for 55 minutes, A&M was clearly the superior team on the road against Auburn. I mean, heck, they outgained Auburn by 150 yards in that one, including dominating the ground. A&M hasn't been back home in, what, over a month? I think they're due for a big bounce-back win here. I think A&M, generally speaking, is one of the more underrated teams in the country. At 5-4, they're the best 5-4 team in the country. I like the Aggies to roll.
One more line that kind of jumped at me is odd, especially the way it's moved. West Virginia opened 14.5, giving 14.5 at home against TCU, at home where they're dominant. TCU is, I mean, they've got to be one of the most disappointing season, like full season teams, like where they were to start the season, almost beating Ohio State in a big non-conference game, to where they are now. Has any team fallen as far as TCU? And the number's gone down to 11.5. So I've picked up 3 points over the course of this week. What am I missing that's making West Virginia not a hammer here?
Yeah, you're going to get agreement again from me. And usually you get 4 or 5 a week disagreement. Not the case here. Another line that, you know, I'm not quite sure why it's trending in TCU's direction. That kind of scares me in itself when I don't understand a line move. The only thing I can come up with right now is West Virginia, Dana Holgorsen, and just that entire program. Usually I wouldn't consider it as the most mature program as far as handling their business after a big win. And that was a big win last week in Austin. That's one of the biggest wins West Virginia's had in the Dana Holgorsen era, and the fact that it came down to the final seconds. And that would be my only concern. Can they, you know, bounce back and emotionally take care of business? Because really, if they can, then I think they're clearly superior to TCU here, and they cover the number.
One of our listeners who plays a lot wanted me to ask you about the Oregon-Utah game, if you had any thoughts on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to take Oregon plus the points here. I have not downgraded a team off one game this season pretty much more than what I did with Utah last week, and two fronts. Number one, let's talk about Utah from just the game losing against Arizona State. Utah has never made the Pac-12 championship game. And yet, heading into last week's game, they're in sole possession. They control their own destiny. They went out. They're going to the Pac-12 championship game for the first time ever. So what happens? They lose. They lay an egg on the road against Arizona State. But on top of that, by far their best player, one of the hottest quarterbacks in the country, Tyler Huntley, playing really well the last month. He's out for the season with a broken collarbone. That was a minimum touchdown downgrade for me on Utah just off of one game from last week. For that reason, I'm going to take Oregon here plus the points. I don't know how Utah picks themselves off the mat.
All right, last one before we let you go. I'm looking at this game, and this is another one where the line's moved in a way that, I mean, I guess is good for me. Georgia Tech opened 4.5-point favorites over Miami at home. They're now 3-point favorites at home. I like the home team. What do you think on that Georgia Tech-Miami game?
Yeah, here's one line move that I do actually agree with. And I get it. Everyone's throwing Miami in the trash. They played like garbage this last month here, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, obviously Georgia Tech runs the option. It's a unique offense. So a lot of times I want to know the past history of how the opposing team defends the option, whether it be their head coach or their personnel. And let's face it, Mark Richt has a lot of experience facing Georgia Tech back to his Georgia days when he was the head coach there in Athens. 15-2 is Mark Richt's career record against Georgia Tech. And I just mentioned straight up why, because Miami's a dog here. They just need to win the game.
Right.
And on the other side of that, Miami's defense hasn't been disappointing. In fact, they're number one in the country in tackles for loss. And if I need anything to stop the option, it's a disruptive defensive front. I have that in Miami. I bet it earlier in the week. I lean with Miami now at the plus three.
So after hearing your handicap, maybe rather than take a side, under 55 sounds good. If you've got a ball control team against a team that's a solid defensive team, doesn't under 55 sound like a juicy number?
And that's why you guys are in the primetime spot in a major U.S. market. That's exactly my thoughts. The best value now at the current line, in my opinion, is to take the under, because obviously I think Miami's defense can stop Georgia Tech, but I do not have any faith in that Miami offense. Under is my preferred play. Excellent job.
We ask you every week about a horrible team. I thought about asking you about Rice and Louisiana Tech, but because you, like me, I think, lost some money on Louisiana Tech is what it sounded like on Straight Out of Vegas.
we all did.
Yeah. But so instead I'll ask you about UTEP. UTEP got their win. Now they're 13.5-point dogs at home against Middle Tennessee. Is that one win enough to satisfy this team, or do you see them just kind of mailing it in now that they got that first win in two seasons?
That's a great question, and one that I don't have a clear-cut answer. So for me, that prevents me strictly from betting the game. And UTEP, it just hasn't been one game. They probably should have won another one, or, you know, they came very close against New Mexico State earlier this year, outplayed them everywhere but the scoreboard, box score, clearly UTEP. How do they handle their business after Brett? If they were busy celebrating, give me Middle Tennessee. If they're handling their business, getting some confidence here, then I'd take UTEP. I think the preferred play here, I'm going to take the over. I do like Middle Tennessee's offense with Stockstill. They've been kind of under wraps a little bit because, let's face it, Stockstill's been less than 100%. I think he's a little healthier this week. And UTEP offensively been much improved here the last three, four games. Give me the over.
All right, that's Brad Powers, pregame.com. Great stuff as always, Brad. Good luck this weekend, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
All righty.
That, Brad and RJ?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Man.
Getting both those guys.
RJ continues to accuse me of cheating.
Well, that's he also accuses me of having duct tape shoes. So
that's true.
Yeah, you just you do what you do. I'll tell you this, though. You know what's not smart is going against those guys because they both know their stuff, as you can tell from Brad and RJ, who you've heard every week. That's not smart. Not smart is getting on an airplane with someone who's throwing up next to you. That's not smart either. So, but what is smart is using my friends at ZipRecruiter if you're going to be hiring. They are the best. There's job sites that are going to send you tons of the wrong resumes to sort through. I've done this. It's a pain in the ass, but not when it comes to ZipRecruiter, because what they do is they're going to help you hire the right person. They don't depend on the candidates finding you. They find them for you. They've got powerful matching technology. It scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. You know what's not smart? Listening to other radio shows. Smart, ZipRecruiter. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/play. That's ZipRecruiter.com/play. ZipRecruiter.com/play. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Bombshells in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And I have a giveaway. So it's 6:37. Callers 1 and 2 are going to win a pair of tickets to see Billy Gibbons. It says on here, best known as lead guitarist and lead vocals from ZZ Top. No, Billy Gibbons. Everybody knows who Billy Gibbons is. Everybody knows who Billy Gibbons is. I don't need to say that. But he's going to be live in concert featuring Matt Sorum, Austin Hanks, and Elwood Francis for the Big Bad Blues Tour. Revention Music Center this Friday, November 9th. Tickets on sale at all Ticketmaster outlets. So we'll do that in a couple minutes. Can you vamp for a second? I've got a bit of an emergency.
Yeah. Oh, man, look at that. Onside kick. No, a punt, muff punt. He touched it. What is going on here? Yeah, 56 seconds into the game. Let me see what's going on here. Oh, they punted it away. And, yeah, I see what happened here. Yeah, North Carolina State's going to recover this this turnover here because there's dummies. And you can't touch a punt and just let it roll around. So Wake Forest, being the bad football team that they are, has already turned the ball over. And now North Carolina State is basically knocking on the door for a touchdown. I thought this was going to be a pretty high-scoring game. The fact that they held them on the first drive was impressive, but that's only sort of a hold if you do that. So we'll keep you updated on that game. 0-0 early on. The NFL game starts 20 minutes after our show finishes up here.
Yeah.
Enough vamping? You good?
Just having some issues getting in. Our my wife just got home and her thing isn't working on the
Security system.
Yeah,
Don't.
So she can't get in, so I'm trying to.
Can you open it from your phone?
I'm trying to do that.
Okay.
So
tell her to figure it out. You're working.
I know, but you know what? She's one of the, there's a few things that I'm not crazy about, but one of them is when she wants something done, it has to be right that very second kind of thing. I hate that. I'm in the middle of doing a show here.
No big deal, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, can't wait till the break for me to try to help you out. But, yeah, it's not working. I don't know what the problem is. So, anyway. They're about to score here.
No, they're not. Voldemort did show me one of the things that reminded me of one of the things I want to talk about. I am so glad the NBA is going to televise the All-Star Game draft. Remember, that was my big complaint last year when it was like it was basically like a schoolyard pick, which is awesome, I thought. But they didn't televise like to show who got picked first and in what order the guys went, because I guess the guys were worried about their egos.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be the last All-Star pick. Dude, you got picked to be an All-Star. That's pretty good. Like the guy who gets drafted as Mr. Irrelevant is still happy to get drafted. He's still got a job. You still get the same bonus check for making the All-Star game that whoever the first pick was. So get over it. But I'm excited to see that now. That's fine. The NBA All-Star game is finally, there's an interesting aspect to it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm intrigued now.
Yeah.
I think that'll be fun. I loved it when they did that for hockey and Ovechkin. Those guys were all getting drunk while they were doing it. That was hilarious. That's how you should do it, man.
That's how it should be.
It should be at a bar as a party, and everybody just sitting there, you know, drinking and having a good time. Home Dudes wants to know, who would be your starting quarterback against Alabama for the Alabama against the World game? Kyler Murray?
Yeah, it's got to be Kyler Murray, I think.
Yeah, probably Murray. I like the kid at Ohio State, too.
Haskins. Will Greer's interesting.
Will Greer would be an interesting one, too. You'd have some choices. I still...
The mustache out there in Washington State.
Yeah. Hey, that kid's pretty good.
He is pretty good.
I didn't think they'd upgrade a quarterback, but they did. Yeah, I think those are... a lot of good options,
but frankly. None of them are better than Tua.
No. That's the thing. Alabama's going to have the advantage in that position.
Maybe Justin Herbert, too. That's another guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, I mean, as a collegiate quarterback, I'm not that crazy about him. But
yeah, I mean, just as a pure college quarterback, it might be Murray for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's so capable of doing.
And it really depends on who the coach is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of it depends on what kind of offense they're going to run.
Who would your coach be?
It has to be Urban, right?
If it's Urban, I'd probably take his quarterback.
Probably the best.
He's going to run that system.
But I think I do think that Kyler Murray could do well in that same system.
Yeah.
But
I'd put Ed Oliver on that team.
I would too, for sure.
Yeah.
If he wants to show up that day.
If we're not going to cut block him like that jerk at Navy did. So that was chicken bleep, though. That was that block was absolutely chicken bleep. Oh well. 713-780 ESPN, if you wish to text the show. And hopefully she's gotten in. I haven't heard. Why do I care about this stuff? You know, if it were me, I'd just go to the bar and wait until it got sorted out.
Yeah.
Or that I got home and could go in the garage.
Never works out that way, does it?
No. Women.
R.I.P.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
R.I.P. to your freedom.
I so need to be single again.
Yeah,
but
it ain't that easy.
But then
my friend.
I couldn't afford to. Then I couldn't afford to retire.
Well,
so
yeah.
There is that, but we shall see. All right, I did have a. I don't know if we got time to get to it now. I think I'm gonna have to save it for tomorrow.
Okay.
I have a couple of non-sports stories that I kind of like, but I don't think we have time now.
Okay.
We're almost out of time in this segment. This show's almost over again. We didn't get a chance to talk too much about it, but they did. They have begun production on the Deadwood movie.
Yeah.
And I know we mentioned it, but the whole crew, Ian McShane, Timothy Oliphant, Molly Parker, Paula Malcolmson, who was Trixie, John Hawks, they're all back. And Brad Dourif. So
that's one of the things that I think is interesting. I mean, it's going to have to be a couple years down the road, right? Because one of the things I noticed watching, my wife and I have started rewatching Deadwood. We finished the first season. And,
yeah.
But Timothy Oliphant looks so young in those shows. Like, even way younger than he did in Justified. Like, he looks like he's like a young man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how old he was when the show got made. If I were guessing what, like, his age is supposed to be in the movie, like, maybe 28.
Yeah, if that.
I mean, he's a young dude. And, you know, it's been a long time. And age catches us all. I don't know what Timothy Oliphant will look like now. But that's one of the things I'm interested in.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. I love that show so much. And it'll be a cool way for them to wrap it up. Ian McShane still looks pretty much the same.
Yeah.
He was in that American Gods, which I think they've had problems getting that thing going again.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I like the book a lot. The show I was kind of on.
Right.
Mott mentions they used to do in the early 80s, they did College All-Stars versus the Pros. I vaguely remember that as a kid, vaguely, that they would play a pro team. And I don't remember if it was preseason or if it was later in the year. But I think they stopped that because the NFL teams didn't really care. So,
wow. Okay, so Voldemort he did. This guy is a good producer.
Oh, he's the best. He's the best we have.
So when Deadwood was filmed, 2004, let's do some math here. Jong, are you ready to do math?
Sure.
How many years ago was 2004? It's 2018 now.
14 years.
Good. I knew you would know that. Even I knew that one, and I'm not even Asian. But now we're going to kick it up a notch. In 2004, he was 36 years old. Now, what is 36 plus 14?
50.
He didn't even have to he didn't have to think about it. That's amazing. Man, you are good. So he's 50 years old now, and I don't think he can – I mean, who knows? Maybe he looked really young at 36, so maybe he can
– Yeah, well, he still looks good. I mean, I'm sure – and actors, they can cheat a little bit.
Yeah.
And make those guys look younger. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, certainly interesting. All right, I have to tell you about my bookie. Guys, got games tonight. You got games every night, basically, and sports, any type of sport, NBA. You want to bet hockey? You want to bet college basketball with my man Hoffman? My bookie has you covered. I use it for everything. Horses. It's the only site I use now. And the best thing about my bookie is they're safe, they're reliable, they've been in business for years, and that's why I use them. And I've not used another site for a couple of years now. They've got all sorts of options for you. All you have to do is go to mybookie.ag or get on your computer or mobile phone. Google My Bookie and get your account started, and they'll match your first deposit 50% of your initial deposit. So if you put in $200, you'll get $100 to bet with from My Bookie for free. All you have to do is use promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Just Google My Bookie today. That's MYBOOKIE, and don't forget to use promo code RADIO when you create your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. My Bookie.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Bombshells in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One last segment to go. And, hey, man, check out SportsMap.com. Good stuff. You got a Hoffman on Hollywood?
I do.
First off, thanks to Justin, by the way.
Yeah, Justin, good dude. A longtime blitzer and brought us a beer. And to be fair, Gustavo tried to come by and bring us a beer, but I have to leave right after.
So do I, because somebody's still not in the house and I'm not. It's a long story.
Oh no.
Yeah. Apparently, it's all my fault.
Are you? Are things going downhill? Is it going to cause problems beyond?
No, I mean, that's one pretty cool thing is that whenever she pisses me off, it lasts about 5 minutes and vice versa. Although, I don't know. She's not responding to me now, which is usually her sign that she's pissed about something. So,
all right. Well, let's talk
happy stuff.
Some Hollywood. Yeah. Like Julia Roberts' hairy armpits, who back in 1999, she had hairy armpits when she attended the world premiere of Notting Hill, the movie she had out at the time. She was asked to recall this moment during her Sunday appearance on Busy Phillips' new talk show, Busy Tonight. Phillips noted that Roberts had rocked the hairy armpit at the premieres at the time, asking her if it had been a feminist statement on her part. Roberts said, "The picture is vivid in my mind, actually, from that moment. But it turns out," she says, "I wasn't trying to make any statement with that look." She says, "I think I just hadn't really calculated my sleeve length and the waving and how those two things would go together and reveal personal things about me. So it wasn't much of a statement as it was part of the statement I make as a human on the planet." Phillips noted that particular statement is very dope and said, "I'm here for it." Which, by the way, I don't care what anyone says, that feminist or not, I don't like that. I can't do the hairy armpits.
No, I'm against.
I want women to have equal pay for equal work and all that stuff, but I don't want them to have equally hairy armpits. I'm out on that.
Yeah, no Chewbacca's for me.
You know what else I want women to have the right to do? Make out with each other at rock concerts. And I'll tell you who's trying to stop that. The damn Canadians.
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
no,
your people. A woman attending a Jack White concert in Canada. She was at Rogers Place in Edmonton, and she was caught up in the moment while listening to her favorite song. And you know this is Canadian because they say favorite and they spell it with a U.
Yeah, yeah.
Weirdos. Well, she was caught up in the moment, and she started making out with her friend. But their actions drew the attention of an usher who came towards them waving her finger disapprovingly and placed her hand between them. So now one of them at least tongue-kissed this girl's palm, this lady's palm, which is gross. Apparently, she says she was shocked, obviously, and then she says she was raising a toast with her coffee cup. She said, "Last night was a reminder as I came home speechless, disturbed, and sad. During the final encore, one of my favorite songs of all time, I grabbed my friend and kissed her, a fun moment on a beautiful night. We were immediately interrupted by a young Rogers Place worker who pulled me to the side, away from my seat, waving her finger disapprovingly, saying, 'That's not allowed here.' I looked at her with the most shocked, dumbfounded look and clarified, 'You mean kissing her? I'm not allowed to kiss her here? Is that what you mean?' She said, 'Yes, and if you have a problem with that, you can speak to my manager.' When the song finished, the woman and her friend put on their coats, and the young worker marched them towards our manager's office as if they were being taken to a school teacher. She recalled telling the manager they were kissing at their seats during the encore, which is inappropriate sexual behavior. The manager asked her to resume her post as the young worker walked away, glaring in disapproval at my friend and I. The arena staff apologized as she wrote an incident report with tears in her eyes. But yes, so no kissing in Canada between women, Fred, which I was very against. Even Jack White even was disappointed.
Yeah, well, of course he is. Aren't we all?
We all are.
So
we're four. I also had a story about 8 Walking Dead spinoffs, but we didn't have time to get to it.
Well, we talked about that a little bit, too. All right, that's going to wrap it up. We'll be in Beaumont tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. Until tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.